So tell me about how you got into the industry. So where did you start and how did you make your way to the top?
Well, my start was I actually applied for marketing sponsorship when I was doing my A levels without really knowing what marketing was. And I was lucky enough to get that role. It was with Pilkington, who are actually now a client of the agency. So they sponsored me for my degree. So I'd been applying for a business studies and French degree, and they sponsored me for marketing. So I did a business studies with a marketing specialism, and that just set me on a trajectory, really. And I went and worked client side for a few years before I finally found agency life and realized that was what I wanted to do long term.
Right. And how long did it take you to get to like CEO position?
Oh gosh, I'm quite old. that's a really difficult question. I can't. So I've been CEO here for about 14 or 15 years.
Right.
I was very established in my career. I didn't set out to become CEO. I kind of always wanted a senior role. I always wanted to influence things. I always knew that I could run projects well, I could run teams well. So I didn't set out to become CEO. I just set out to make a difference in the business that I was in.
Right.
I suppose I became CEO. We did a management buyout when I was around about 40, and I became CEO as part of that process, really.
Right, okay. And what kind of things do you do at BGL? What kind of agency is it?
So we're an advertising agency. We probably the best way to describe us is we come from quite traditional roots. That probably helps identify the sorts of things that we do. So our core clients are all national and international clients. So people like Ron Seals, Swinton Insurance, Skipton Building Society, Fleurette. We work with Pure Gym. And our typical role will be to get very involved in their sort of marketing planning, strategic planning for the brand. We're real brand specialists. We'll help them establish a brand platform, and then we'll explode that out through the communications channels. And that could be everything from, and usually is everything, from TV through all the digital channels. We now do PR, we do social activation campaigns as well. So most typically, we'll get to that sort of clear brand strategy point of view, and then we'll put campaigns together to help deliver against their commercial challenges.
Right. And with you in the CEO role now, what does a day look like for you on like an average day? I mean, is there an average day?
Well, the truth of the matter is, and this is one of the things I absolutely love about the job I do, is that no 2 days are the same. The one day that I can count on being fairly routine is a Monday. So what I recognise over the years is that the more responsibility you have, and the more people that need a little bit of your time, and the more things you need to influence, it can hijack your week. So the way I work is I use Monday to do lots of kickoff sessions and catch-ups. So Mondays for me are a really, really key day. So we start the morning. We have a account directors and senior team meeting at 9. So it's a very well structured, but quite an upbeat, informal meeting. So typically on a Friday, we send out the sort of list of work that's going through the agency that week. It's quite a short-term meeting in many respects. Our ops director then runs through the key things that are in the agency that week. But then what will happen is each of the team goes around and gives their highlights that week, maybe that month, and then we have a quick overview about, anything coming up that we need to know about. So that gets me off to a great start. I then have a meeting with the marketing team mid-morning, which talks about all the new projects we've got in the offing. It's more about business development. And then I have a lunchtime meeting, which alternate weeks is either with our board or board plus, which is board plus about another 5 people, but the senior team. And that kind of is like, that has a structure, that meeting. We do a quick review of our commercials. We talk about campaigns. We try and make sure that creative is at the top of our agenda.
Right.
We'll talk about 3 or 4 new campaigns, not necessarily our work. And between us, we'll talk about what's working, what we like, and what we don't like. And then we'll also pick up on anything that's on people's minds. So it might be anything from resource through to a pressure point in the agency, through to an opportunity. And so by the time I leave on a Monday, I have a really good fix from the junior team to the senior team of what's going on.
Right.
After that, the day is really free flow, completely contracting days.
And so in a morning for you, what does a morning look like? Do you get up at a specific time, or do you have to follow a specific routine?
I'm a real morning person, so I'm always awake really early, sort of 5:30, 6.
Right.
I like to read the paper every day, so I download the Times on my iPad. So by the time I come to work, I've read the paper every day. I've done that forever and ever. I'm not quite sure why, but it gives me a good... And I'm a Radio 4 listener on the way in the car.
Yeah.
So I have a good fix on current affairs when I get in. Right. I do like to morning exercise. I don't do it every day, but I might do 2 days a week. So anything from a gym session through to I'll do yoga at home.
Do you do that before you go to work? Is that something?
I do. I'm a real morning exercise person. I have had spells where I've managed to exercise every morning and that got a bit too much. So my view on exercise is I try and build something into every day, but that doesn't need to be a formal exercise. So for example, if I'm in London, that can be quite a long day, but I'll make sure I walk between meetings if I can. So it doesn't need to be a structured exercise, but I just know that if I've done something active, I feel better.
Right.
But the evenings I'm too tired.
Yeah. And do you always have breakfast? Do you always have coffee?
Yeah, I always have breakfast. I quite often bring it to work. So I'm quite I am a healthy eater, but I'm naturally a healthy eater. It's not really a big effort. So I'll do a sort of fruit porridge, almond butter type breakfast. Right. I do have coffee, but not after midday because it makes me a bit wired. So I'm gonna have one or two coffees. I do think that eating healthily makes me feel happier, so I'll do, but I think it's so easy now. So we're in the middle of Manchester, we're in the London office, we're in the middle of a really buzzing area.
Right.
So for salads, soups, I bring protein bars to work because if I don't, I'll snack on the biscuits and sweets that sit in reception. And then evenings, I like to cook. My husband and I both like to cook, so we'll always have a meal together.
So what do you have lunch at work or do you go out? Do you normally have a meeting then or?
I nearly always work through lunch, which I'm not necessarily advocating, but it might be with, so my Monday catch up with Board or Board Plus, we always get lunch brought in.
Right.
But it's sandwiches, salads, fruit, soups, that sort of thing. I don't go out for lunch a lot. If I'm honest, I'd rather keep going through, take a bit of a break, maybe walk out to get some lunch and get home a bit earlier if I can. And maybe have lunch with people once a week. And that's usually for clients in the agency. But these days, I find even clients, nobody really wants to sit down and have a big, long lunch. Yeah. Most people are on a bit of a mission to, you know, keep going, get through the work day. A light, healthy lunch seems to be the order of the day. And that's changed a lot since I was in the industry. I think advertising was renowned for the big, long lunches, and I just don't see it happening anymore.
Was it very Mad Men?
Well, not mad. I always had young children, so none of my life's ever been very mad. But I was conscious that, you know, long lunches with wine, with beers was part of lots of people's daily routine.
Right.
Kind of never been part of mine, really. That's not to say I never have lunch with a glass of wine, you know, occasionally, but it's never been part of my routine.
Right. And the thing is, I know, because I've known you a long time now, but that you look after your team there as well. Like, I remember you used to do yoga classes there and is that something you still, you know, advocate in the agency?
Yeah, we have. I mean, it varies. Things seem to go in cycles. We do invest quite heavily in the team. There aren't that many of us, there's 75 of us. We have somebody comes in and does massages every week.
Right.
We go through spells of doing yoga. And we were recently, then it's died off again. What we actually did in the end, we created a culture club and we put a budget behind it, and they basically invest in the things that they think staff want.
Okay.
And like lots of businesses now, we'll, you know, fresh fruit comes in on a Monday. We kind of try and accommodate people's family lives. We'll, you know, advocate. The yoga is a good example. The massage is a good example. I just think most businesses these days understand that work has to try and help people achieve a nice balance as well as themselves just having to get this work-life balance sorted.
Yeah. Is there anything that you do specifically if you feel stressed or under pressure or those types of things?
Yeah, exercise is a massive one for me. So having said I'm not a, I don't necessarily do this every day, exercise has been part of my life forever. So whilst I wouldn't do gym or something in the evening, I do go out. I have a road bike. I'm doing a sprint triathlon in June, so I'm doing a bit of training around that at the moment. Exercise to me is just a great de-stressor. So I'll run a bit. I'll cycle. I love the outdoors. I dog walk. Mm-hmm. And if any of my team are feeling particularly stressed or that something's upset them, it might not be to do with work. I'll always kind of probe a bit on what they do exercise-wise. I just think that endorphin kick is such a big natural high and can be such a good leveler and can maintain a sense of perspective, I guess. So.
And when does your day end? Like, what time do you normally go home? And are you quite strict about that? Or does it depend what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm not strict about what time I go home. I won't hang around if I've not got work to do. I don't feel I need to be in the office till a certain point. I do worry about other people working late. So if I am leaving, I will check on other people as I go. I'll try and get away when the work's done. So it's rarely before six, but it's rarely after eight.
Right.
So six and eight. I do find that my work and home life have always morphed and blended into each other. So I do emails when I get home. I quite often travel. We've got a great Met service in and out of Manchester. So if I'm traveling on the Met, I'll spend that half hour winding down doing final emails. If I've driven home, I'll do them when I get home. I try not to work. For me, if I start working after about 8:30, I don't sleep. So I've learned not to keep going till really late. The exception would be if we have a pitch or a big client meeting, and then I'll just work till we've done it all.
Right. And how did you manage like working and kind of still going up the ladder when you had children? Because I know your children are older now, they're like 30s, like the late 20s. Yeah. But how did you manage it?
Well, quite a bit of juggling. I got a great piece of advice from a friend when my work was ramping up. My children were very small, and I can remember at one point having a bit of a sort of, you know, moment of how do I get through this? And I have a friend who's a lawyer, and she's probably one of my most sensible friends, and she's empathetic but no nonsense.
Right.
And she's more or less just said to me, get a grip, work out what you need and put it in place. And I think probably applying that business logic to your work family life has helped me. So a good support network, an understanding business, being clear with the business about what I needed. So for example, for me, it was really important that I never missed things with kids. I never wanted to miss a nativity play or a sports day or even a football match if I could help it. But rather than letting that build up inside me, I didn't own the business then. I just spoke to the people who owned the business and explained that for me, that was very important. And they completely accommodated that. So I think being really clear about the things that make you happy and being able to articulate that well, and then making sure that you deliver on the other things that are important. It's not that you're going to a nativity play instead of working. You work around it. You make sure that work doesn't ever have to worry about you doing your job. So I think those things, but for me, it was really important not to miss things the children were doing.
Yeah, and what I find really inspiring about you is the fact that this is a piece of information you told me, that when the children were younger, you were actually at home with them. I know you were working, but you were working around the children more, weren't you? And yeah. Up until, was it when they were five?
Well, they were, so what I did, partly is a function of the times, because, you know, laptops and mobile phones were less readily available, working remotely was really difficult. So I basically worked myself for a spell to construct something that worked around the children. So I did consulting and lecturing. And then I came back into advertising, they were 7 and 9. Now I had been working in that time, but I'd been kind of working to my own timetable a bit more. So they were quite established. The interesting thing is, though, I think lots of mums worry about this. You know, should I work? Shouldn't I work? My children have no recollection. I was around till they were 7 and 9. I worked in the evenings when they were in bed, the odd day when John was around, my husband or my mum and dad. They have no recollection of me being at home. So actually, the advice I would give to mums is don't overthink it. Just do what kind of works for your family. But for me, I came back when they were 7 and 9. I came back part-time. And then I kind of built up from there.
Yeah, which I think that for me is like a really inspiring bit, because it's like you can still make it happen. You don't have to. It's not like you have to burn out all the time. You have to, you know, this word of hustle. I hate that at the moment. It's like, you know, you can take your time to do it. It doesn't all have to happen straight away.
Really doesn't. And I also, I think it's probably, it's easy for me to look back now and recognise some of the skill sets I was acquiring whilst I was doing those things that in my mind I wasn't working, or I was lecturing, maybe working less. I was lecturing 9 hours a week. Which actually was one of the toughest things I've done. But, you know, the sorting out your thought processes, dealing with a broader cross section of people, you know, juggling your time, multitasking, which men and women do. I know women get this sort of label of being able to multitask, but, you know, the skill sets you acquire when you're at home with young children and trying to do some work as well, very transferable skills. When I came into work, they were great girls. So don't, you know, and I didn't realize at the time, and I now say that to people, friends, or when I'm interviewing somebody who's maybe not worked for a while, don't think you've not been doing stuff, because actually all that comes into the workplace, that natural empathy that mums and dads achieve when they've got young children, you know, prioritizing, the sense of perspective that family life gave me, and I think gives lots of people, all those are great skills to bring into the workplace.
And do you think that, do you think it's been harder for you as a woman to get to the position that you're in now, or do you think it's just been hard work, or are there specific tips and hints that you would give to other women?
Yeah, I haven't found it specifically hard as a woman, and until it's become very of the moment, I kind of didn't even see it as a thing. Now that partly might be my background. I had, you know, parents who, I had a brother, my mum and dad are teachers. There was never any suggestion that I was treated differently from my brother, or that I didn't need a career, you know. So for me, it was never a thing. I kind of just went on and did it. However, I know that for some people it has been a big issue, and in some industries, I think maybe our industry, advertising and creative industries, are very good at accommodating men and women. So maybe I've been lucky to be in the right area.
Are there things though that you would advise to other women if they wanted to get to a CEO position? I mean, whether you're a man or a woman, are there certain things that you, I don't know, what key things do you think you need?
I think the key things for me getting to being a CEO are being true to yourself, and maybe that, you know, understanding your own values, trusting your own style. I think the only times I've ever come unstuck are where maybe I've taken bad advice from somebody. So my style, I think, is fairly, I think it's fairly gentle, but it's firm. I'm really clear about where I want to get to. There's been times when I've been given advice to maybe toughen up and take a slightly different stance, which has not sat comfortably with me. And I think I've not got to the same end result that I would have wanted. I've not got any further with it. So maybe being true to yourself, knowing your style, and understanding the strength in that's been important. I think for me, it's always been important that when you walk away from people, understanding how they feel, you know, so seeing things from both sides, being very focused on the end goal, maybe not being too sensitive about things. So understanding that if you have got to get to an end point with the business, you might not always be popular getting there. And that was quite a big learning for me. People don't always like you, but they can respect you. So I think it's that sort of thing, really. Yeah. Understanding that you'll evolve your own management style, and there isn't one style that suits all.
And do you think your children have benefited from seeing you in this position and seeing your career?
Yeah, I think I asked them this recently, and my son wrote me a really touching, I emailed him actually because he was working away, and he wrote me a really touching note. I think they both think it's been a bit of an advantage. They've both spent time in the agency. They've both sat in on the tail end of meetings where maybe we've been doing a pitch run through and they've been waiting to go home. You know, my son has a lovely girlfriend who's quite a strong woman, and I think he responds well to strong women and is very respectful of women. And my daughter is a strong woman. So I kind of think that, you know, part of it's genetics, I guess, but part of it, they've seen me work, and they seem to have benefited from it. They think it's a good thing.
And what about relationship-wise? I mean, how have you managed to have a very long marriage and kept, you know, when times you have to work quite a lot? Is there any tips or hints on that?
I think we've just been a team. And I think it took us years to recognise that, but I think we know that we've tag-teamed. So there have been times where I've had to step in more at home and support when John's been hectic, and times where he's done the same. And it's about communication, isn't it? That doesn't mean it's always been easy, but I think adopting this sort of team approach, working out what it is that you need that makes family life happy and comfortable, and then trying to put that in place. Yeah, and empathy, you know.
And if you were to look back on your, say you're an older lady, you've retired, you've done all your work, and if you were to look back on your life, would there be any advice that you'd give to your younger self?
Yeah, I think worry less. Yeah. I think, you know, we all torture ourselves a little bit. Try and enjoy the journey, you know, work, and that's partly helped by working out what it is that makes you happy at work. And then I think keep a sense of perspective. And for me, one of the things that's helped me do that is exercise. I suppose the final thing maybe for me would be surrounding yourself by the right sort of people for you. Now, for me, that's got to be glass half full, positive people. You know, people who say and, not but. That's been really important for me. And I think I am surrounded by really positive people, both at work and at home.